So we start with a table where it says direction. This is the table of David and Stephen. And so David and Stephen, it's up to you to start with direction. Write it big on the paper. And any type of word that comes to your mind when you think of direction. But we are going to help you with that. How do we find direction? You need to talk to me now. How do we find direction? Where do we get direction from in life?
We ask.
We ask? We ask. Who do we ask? God, okay, yes?
Other people?
Parents?
Preferably
somebody who knows. That is kind of a major detail, isn't it? And how do we know that we are going in the right direction? How do we know? The person does know. Maybe they don't know. I don't know if you remember that. You know, I have been in Africa before. And when you ask someone direction, they often say, yes, I know where you need to go. You need to go that direction. But then we found out that it wasn't quite the direction that we needed to go into. And that it's not a thing like, oh, you know, they're trying to fool you or something. But it is a way of, I want to help you. And I think it is that kind of direction. And I am a polite person, so I will show you which direction it is. But often we came out in a place where we did not really need to be. So how do we know the person really knows the direction we need to go in?
You need to know the person.
Ah, you need to know the person. Anything else? Oh, you need a map. Okay, that would work.
A map, a guide,
that's all a good idea. A policeman, that could also be a good idea, to ask a policeman. And then you hope that it is a good policeman. But we do trust the police, so. We read in our first Bible reading about getting direction in life. And if someone off the table of Steve would want to read that, can I just turn this on? What is it on? Sorry.
Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Thank you, Stephen. So it makes it quite clear in that Bible reading that the one where we get our direction from is Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He gives us a direction in life that is beyond anything else. He has shown us when he was walking the earth how it looks like to live life with God, what it really truly means to follow God's law, not just to the letter of the law, but what the real meaning of God's law is, how that really looks in everyday life, that it is about an attitude of our heart, that it is about loving God, not just following little rules and little words in an old book, but truly, truly understanding what it means to live a holy life before a holy God. And that is what Jesus lived out for us. And he is someone that we can look at and ask for and listen to for direction. So how do we do that? Well, I think one of the simplest ways to listen to Jesus is by reading our Bible. That is where God has first of all shown who he is. Secondly, he has shown us in Jesus who he is and how much he loves us. But we read about Jesus in the Bible, so that's the first place to go to. And Jesus has promised that he would always be with us through his Spirit. He has not left us. He has given us his Spirit. And how do we get to know the Spirit? Well, in the Bible, but also by praying, by talking to God. And not just talking, you know, I am someone who likes to talk, but sometimes we just need to shut up and listen, right? And it is a little bit, it becomes, when we do that on a regular basis, we will recognize the voice of God's Spirit. It is like when my parents call me on the phone, they just say, hi, it's me, and I know it's my dad, or I know it's my mum. They don't have to say, hello, Henriette, this is your dad. I know my dad, you know, he can just, and that has nothing to do with my mobile phone, I can see it's my dad ringing. I know his voice, right? When my son rings me, he says, hey, it's me. I know who it is. I recognize his voice. So when he says, I will be back later, I know he will be back later, you know, because that is what he tells me. I know the kind of person he is. He wouldn't tell me that if he didn't do it. So it's the same with God. It's the same with the Spirit. If we tune in often enough, if we listen to the Spirit often enough, then we will hear. We will hear and we will know the direction to travel in. We read it in Isaiah, and it says there in Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, you will hear this word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. It's this knowing, insight. This is the way. Walk in it. We know that direction as athletes. Look at that. We have done a whole lot of writing. Thank you very much. You started us off fantastic. Great. So the next thing that we look at is, once we have our direction, what happens then? Do we always go in that direction? Or did Tom see something on the way that actually, ooh, that was quite interesting. What did Tom see that distracted him? Greg's, the bakers. Everything that you, if you can put distraction here somewhere, and all the words that come up in the conversation. So, in life, what could distract us? Nice food can distract us. Nice food, a drink. What else? Sorry? Telephone. Telephones are a nightmare, right? They always distract us. That's a really good point you're making there, Deborah. What else can distract us? Other people can be negative. Other people. And other people are often on the phone as well, yes? They're often on the phone, asking our attention, distracting us. Anything else? Newspaper with all the bad news in it. And that can track our thoughts away from where we're really going, isn't it? The TV as well, yeah. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things. And especially the younger generation, right? There is a lot of noise around us. There's a lot of noise around us. There's a lot of all kinds of impulses around us that, you know, I think this is the sign that you're getting old, when you think, oh, it wasn't like that in my time. but it wasn't like that in my time. And so therefore I am now old. Let's have our Bible readings on this traction, on that table. There are two different ones. One is from Galatians 5, and the other one is from James 1. So if each of you would like to read it out with the microphone. Thank you.
Galatians 5, verses 4 to 8. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you.
James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Thank you. Distraction, or temptation perhaps we call it, thank you, always looks good. I have never seen anyone distracted by something that doesn't look good. It's always the grass that is greener on the other side of the fence. It is always the fruit that looks so tempting and juicy and sweet to bite into. And it was like that with Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. You know, what Satan said to him, what he heard, seemed to make sense. It seemed to be a better way. If he would just follow the idea of getting power in a military way, with military power. If he would just get the power by becoming something and somebody big within the religious system. It seemed to make so much more sense if he could just overthrow the Roman Empire. It would all be sorted there and then. But you know, the thing is, those are our ways. It is not the plan of God. And when we choose that way, when we choose the easy way, when we choose the way that is not God's way, it is often a way that gives us power, that gives us glory, that elevates us to a certain level where everyone else is far, far lower than we are. But if it is not the way we have heard to walk in, then we are cheating. We try to run a race. We try to be athletes that don't follow the rules. And we know what happens with athletes that don't follow the rules. It may be years later, but they will be found out and they will be disqualified. We read it in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. An athlete is not crowned without competing according to the rules. You have to stick to the rules in order to win the crown. So there's one thing that I forgot to mention to you. When you're at your table and you have thought about your word and passed it on nicely, please think of a prayer that you would like to pray for the world or for other people that has something to do with that word on your table. And then later on, when we do the prayers of intercession, one of you can read out that prayer. Yeah? So, We should not be distracted. We should get focused and keep our eyes on the goal, on the prize that is in front of us. Oh, no, that's fine. We will just... And we need to be dedicated. What does that even mean, being dedicated? Please talk to me. What does it mean? What does it mean to be dedicated? Some of us are very dedicated moms and godparents. But what does the word mean, dedication? Oh, you can speak to me. Being focused, dedication is being focused. Anything else? Sticking with something, absolutely. Sticking with something. Set aside, yeah. So the dictionary says it is commitment. Commitment, zeal, enthusiasm, perseverance. Or they say it is selfless devotion to a case. Selfless devotion. So hence the whole mother thing. You know, mothers are dedicated to, in a selfless way, and to bring up their child in a healthy way. Let's read the Bible reading that goes with this word. Who is at this table? Who would like to read the Bible reading? Yeah, lovely, thank you. Yeah, we had this one. It's okay. Yeah, we're going to do it again. You can't hear it often enough.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Thank you, Glenys. How would it look for us to be dedicated as athletes on Team Jesus? How would people be able to tell that we are dedicated runners in that race? We don't give up, yeah? Anything else? This is quite important for us to think about. How would people...
Happy?
Yes? What else? Just throw it out. Any other idea? Lift the way you speak, absolutely. Absolutely. I think dedication is probably, you can probably illustrate it in an athletic sense by looking at how many people these days run the race for life. It's a slightly different race for life when they race for, when they run for, to eliminate breast cancer. And there are thousands and probably millions who run this race every year. And they are all selflessly giving their time, giving their energy, giving their raising their money just to get that horrible disease, breast cancer, eliminated from among us. Now, of course, there's a lot of other things going on there as well with, you know, for a while, that person that has died, a loved one, is brought back in the midst of a community, is remembered, is taken away from a place where people might have forgotten about her, and is with us again. But you know, it is probably not such a bad illustration to use in our own race for life. Because do we not
keep Jesus in mind in our race for life and bring him into a community and say, this is who we race for. This is who we give our time for. This is who we give our energy for. All for Jesus, to whom we belong and who we love. And so dedication is something beautiful. It is something that thinks of the other first before it thinks about ourselves. It is a focus on Jesus. And of course, Jesus himself is the example of being dedicated to a cause that he set out to run and to walk. And the Gospels are full of examples of how he selflessly gave himself and his time and his gifts to people on the edge of society, to people who were overlooked, to people who were scorned, and to people who were desperately ill. And he gave himself, he gave everything he had to just say, this is who God is. This is how much you are loved by God. This is how life is to be lived. And he was determined to continue living well until the end. Please remember the people at the dedication table to write a little prayer for the rest of the world with that word, to do with that word, whilst we move on to determination. What is the difference between the dedication and determination? Is there a difference? Surely there must be some sort of difference. Let's think. I know there are some academics in this room, so let's think the difference between determination and dedication. Determination. Do we know? What, do we know the difference between dedication and determination? What?
Well,
no. No, good for you. I didn't know either, so I had to look it up on the internet. Good for you. Is there anyone who knows? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Determination is having a fixed plan, whereas dedication is selflessly giving yourself of yourself. Determination is having a plan, knowing what the effort is going to be like, and reach a desired result. So, you have a plan to reach a desired result. Let's have the reading for that. Let me give you the microphone. Are you happy to do it, Mercedes? Yeah? Sorry, can I just squeeze through? Thank you. Yeah, you do, yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 till 27. Now, I can hold it for you, Ian can hold it, that's fine. Okay, speak loud.
Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes to strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Thank you. That was good. Thanks. Great. Well done. It is about determination. It is about putting ourselves in training. And in training in a way that we get a prize. Now, I know I will never be an athlete because, you know, I just get too tired with running. I run a little bit with my puppy and then I think, okay, well, I'll walk a little bit. So, but everyone who actually really wants to be an Olympic athlete, they go into very strict training.
They do it to get a crown, to get a medal, and it's a medal that won't even last. Of course, it will last during this lifetime, but at the end of the day, everyone dies, and you can't take those kind of medals with you. And so Paul is saying, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer just beating the air. No, I am actually determined to hit the goal. I am determined to get to the prize, to get to there where I need to be. So that even when I preach to others, I myself keep on course, running the race. It's all very good doing all this work for the Lord of the work. But the Lord of the work wants our attention as well. It's all very well to do the work, but how about spending time? How about making sure we don't get too distracted? How about staying dedicated ourselves? It can be really, really difficult if we're busy with church matters. They can take over and distract us in a way that actually leads us off course. So let's be determined to stay on course and to stay running that course. And please be determined to write a little prayer for the world that has something to do with that word. And when we stay on course, you know, Jesus, of course, let me just go back quickly there. Jesus himself stayed determined until the very end, even when people wanted to kill him. And he was determined. He set his face towards Jerusalem. And he knew that he was going to be killed there, because he was now having people following him. And he had upset so many people that they really wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the way. And still, he was determined. There is a plan in all of this. There is God's plan to rescue the world through this. No matter how, I will set my face to Jerusalem. And there, of course, he was crucified and he died and he was buried. But God brought him back to life again. And he was, if you like, decorated to a new place. He was decorated as the champion, as our champion. People almost immediately after his after he got back to heaven started worshiping him. People who were used to worshiping one God started worshiping Jesus immediately. Isn't that interesting? He was decorated as the Son of God. So let's have the reading for that last word that we're looking at. Are you reading, Margaret? Yeah, or someone?
Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Thank you. So do we have to wait until we die before we win that prize, before we are decorated, if you like? Or is there a time before then that we already have a prize? Jesus got part of the prize when he was brought back to life by God. You know, he appeared to people. Paul says at some point in his letter to the Corinthians, he appeared to 500 people at some point. And when he was lifted up to heaven, people started worshiping him. So in a way, God already vindicated him then. Do we have to wait until we die to get part of the prize? Or is there some of the prize already here for us on earth? What do you think?
I
Sorry? Some is here, eh? Yeah. You know, we can already call ourselves children of God here on earth. Doesn't always make life easier, but we are children of the King of the universe. How great is that? You're a prince. I'm a princess. And we should live like that. Part of the prize is already here, right? The fullness will come in another life. The fullness for Jesus will come at the end of time, when time will finish, when time as we know it will stop to exist, and Jesus will appear in a cosmic spectacle. And we read about it in Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. And it says, and then he will appear and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it will be to the glory of God the Father. See, this is it. We are running this race to go towards a prize. But the prize is not just our own. The prize, the ultimate prize, is for God to get the glory. That he has rescued his creation. That he has saved the people through Jesus Christ, his son. That the whole rescue plan is his. That this is what creation was all about. We will benefit from that. Because we are his children, because we belong to him. But it is he who will ultimately get the glory and the honor. Jesus is the forerunner, is our forerunner. He has done it, he has shown the way, he has shown how it needs to be done, and we keep our focus on him. He is the perfecter of our faith, as we read in Hebrews. He is the one who does make all our feeble attempts and our distractions and our lack of dedication and our lack of determination and our getting muddled up, he perfects it when we keep running after him, when we keep our direction focused on him. He is the perfecter of our faith. We are not running this race in our own power. We have him as our forerunner and the Holy Spirit as the one cheering us on and saying, come on, you can do this. You know who you belong to. Let me just finish with this little thing called Thoughts That Make Your Heart Sing. It's a little book written by Sally Lloyd-Jones. And she writes about this text that we have just been thinking about, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Jesus, the champion of our faith, because of the joy awaiting him, endured the cross. And this is what she writes. The Bible says life is like running a race, but only one person has ever run that race perfectly. Jesus came to earth as a man and ran the race of life. Even though his heart broke, he never stopped. He kept on running, even when it led to the cross. Why? He was running for a prize, for the joy set before him. What prize? Jesus was God. He already had everything. What could he possibly need? What joy did he not already have in heaven? That he had to come to earth to get, that he could only get by dying on the cross. You. You are Jesus' prize. You are his joy. You are what he came to win.